Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, September 29th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr. Joining me is the blind gamer, a.k.a. Steve Saylor.
Hey, Bless. How's it going?
It's going good, Steve. I'm sore. I played soccer last night, and yeah. Let me tell you, soccer takes a lot out of you. And so I woke up this morning, and I almost didn't make it out of bed.
It's a lot of constant running, which yes. I'm like, who wants to, you know, do anything running anything? But, you know, I applaud you for wanting to do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, even though I am experiencing pains in places that I've never experienced pain before, I am still having an excellent time. And I am happy to report that after our devastating loss last week, we lost again this week, but we lost by less points.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah. So you're improving. That's great.
We're improving. We all played better. I was very proud. Yeah, dude, Roger Bacorny was getting multiple headers.
Whoa. No way.
I was absolutely impressed and shocked. Dude, Cool Greg was like straight up like dribbling the ball around people, keeping the ball away from the defender. He was killing it.
Cool
dude.
Greg, you know, has been practicing like I know they've been kind of doing their like practice like kind of out and about and stuff, just like on their own time. Mm-hmm. But like it's gotten to the point where Cool Greg is like practicing dribbling just like around the office.
In the office, yeah. Yeah. If you look over at Cool Greg sitting at his desk, like he'll just have his like small soccer ball just like kicking it around. And so he's gotten actually really good at ball control on the soccer field. And again, like we did really good last night. And so, yeah, shout out to our team. Our team is named FC Hammer. I came up with that.
I love that.
Thank you. But Steve, how are you doing? Welcome to the office.
Yeah, no, this is the first time in the spare bedroom. And even though it still feels weird, like we're in the lab, it's like I still feel like we're still virtually. And I'm like, Bless.
Yeah, right? It's like I want to reach out to you. I still feel like you're 100 million miles away.
Exactly.
Even though we're in the lab mainly because they're setting up for D&D.
If you need it, Steve, you can just roll on over to Bless and give him a hug if you need it.
Yeah, you could if you want to. I will stop you.
Maybe instead of the handshake at the end, we'll do a virtual hug. So, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so like we're not using the main studio because right now they're setting up for D&D. Y'all don't want to miss out on that D&D stream. They've been working on it for a while. And let me tell you, I've already seen some of the precursors to it, and it's looking real excellent. And so get hyped for that. For now, though, we're doing KFGD in the lab. So let's talk about today's stories, which include bad news for Star Wars KOTOR Remake, Fall Guys being fined for now, and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames and twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to KindaFunny.com/YouReWrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames, or you can listen later on podcast. Services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games.
I forgot
daily.
About that for a second.
Well, I didn't like, I'm scared to bang on this desk because there's so much technology here.
Exactly. And I have like a cup of water. I'm like, I don't want to knock that down and ruin my, I just got here.
I have a LaCroix and I have a coffee. And if any of this spills on the PS5 or the mixer or the Wave XLR physical thing or the switcher over here or the DualSense that is camo, we have a camo DualSense here for some reason that I'm matching with.
Damn. Okay.
That's Mike's controller.
Of course, it's Mike's controller. I don't want to ruin any of this, and so that's why you're getting the clap instead of the bang on the desk. Of course, remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you. A new PS I Love You XOXO is up right now. It is me, it is Janet, and it is our dive into what the future of PlayStation is post-Jim Ryan. It is what I would describe as a must-listen-to, must-watch episode of PS I Love You XOXO, so go check that out. And speaking of which, the Shoe for President shirt is up right now on the kindoffunny.com/store. You can go over there, check out the shirt. If you're a PlayStation fan, if you're a PS I Love You fan, if you're a Shuhei Yoshida fan, this is a must-buy purchase. It's also only up for a limited time. And so if you wanted the shirt, you got to get on it now. Barrett's pulled it up for you. designed by the one and only Roger Bicorni.
I would say you guys got that up quick.
Yeah. No, Roger did the thing. As soon as Jim Ryan announced that he was retiring, when I tell you that, all the gears turned in Greg Miller's, in Roger Bicorni's head, in Joey Noel's head as well. And they're all like, we got to make a merch. we got to do something. And so to commemorate, we do have our Shoe for President shirts available right now. Did we ask Shuhei Yoshida? I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay.
Listen, is Greg one to ask for permission or is he one to ask for forgiveness? Probably the latter. And so,
yeah.
Again, go buy that shirt for a limited time. And then, of course, are you ready to role play? Today, the Kinda Funny crew and special guest Sage Ryan will take you on an epic journey at the table as Nick Scarpino DMs our first ever D&D session. Come join the table and roll some dice with us today, right after KFGD, exclusively live on Twitch and then later on YouTube as a VOD. And then as a reminder, the final week of September is here. Subtember. Not September, it's here on Twitch. And it's a great time to take advantage of sweet discounts when you subscribe to our channel. If you want to enjoy ad-free viewing, channel emotes, and more, you can save 30% off on 3-month and 6-month extended subscriptions. If you want to give back to the community, gifted subs on Twitch are now 25% off as well, so you can give the power of ad-free viewing to your best friends. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Brave Athos, Jedi Master Deadpool, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, Shady Rays, and DoorDash, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 6 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one. Steve, we're starting with Scandal, because Sony has hidden the trailer for Star Wars KOTOR Remake, and they've deleted their announcement tweet. This is from Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. References to the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake have been taken offline by some of PlayStation's primary social media accounts, amid a report of troubled development. Billed as a collaboration between developer Aspyr Media and production partners Lucasfilm Games and Sony Interactive Entertainment, the game was announced as a timed PS5 console exclusive during a PlayStation Showcase event in September 2021. However, it was recently noticed that the tweet from the main PlayStation Twitter account announcing the game has been deleted, while the title's reveal trailer has been made private. This has caused speculation that the game, which was also announced for PC and expected to be released on Xbox Series X at some point too, could be the latest casualty of restructuring efforts at Aspyr's parent company, Embracer Group. Embracer, which acquired Aspyr in 2021 and placed it under Saber Interactive, said in June that it was implementing a restructuring program, which would see some game studios closed and some projects canceled. The announcement followed what the company said was the unexpected collapse of a $2 billion deal with a mystery partner, which was later reported to be the Saudi government-funded Savvy Games Group. The Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake has reportedly been beset by problems over the last couple of years. Bloomberg claimed last summer that Aspyr had stopped working on the game and that the future of the title was up in the air. Embracer had earlier confirmed that Saber Interactive was also working on the game, and some of Bloomberg's sources said that they believed it was possible Saber had taken over development of the project entirely. Steve, is this one you've been following?
I have been, because I definitely played KOTOR back in the day. It was the only game that I ever actually went back and replayed again. I did the good side for the first one, and then the dark side for the second one, and it was a game that I was very excited for the remake / remaster, whatever they were going to call it.
Yeah.
And it was announced. I was like, okay, great. But it's slowly over time. It's the fact that we hadn't heard anything from it in a long time, and it's Embracer, it's the development issues, and Saber taking over. I'm like, oh, man, this is a slow death, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the unfortunate thing of the last big report we talked about with this one was when they brought it to PlayStation and, when they brought it to, the people at the table and went, hey, here's what we got so far, and apparently that meeting didn't go well.
Yeah.
Apparently everybody was like, ugh, this isn't shaping up the way we wanted it to shape up, and then, that was kind of the last we heard from what's going on internally at that with that game.
Yep.
And so, coming off of that and now getting to the place of where Embracer's at in 2023, where it is, hey, we're laying off a bunch of people, we're shutting down a bunch of projects, we are leaning up, and we are going to exploit Lord of the Rings. That is our plan. We exploit Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You look at all that, and man, yeah, the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake seems like a pretty easy casualty to get caught up in this, right? And like,
yeah,
it's that wild thing of when we talk about big IP and when we talk about where video games are at with how money gets spread around, right? Like,
yeah,
you look at the big IP and you would think Star Wars. Like, Star Wars is one that that's one that we keep around, right?
Yeah.
That's one that we want to double down on. But I
especially
think,
with something with KOTOR too.
Yeah, like KOTOR. I think KOTOR, a PlayStation exclusive KOTOR, right? Like,
yeah,
you're partnered with them. I think that is such a surefire bet of, well, there's success here. This is going to be something that does well. When you take that and you combine it with development issues, then I think it becomes a thing of, ooh, all right, maybe this isn't a great idea.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because, like, in Canada, like, in Montreal, there's, like, basically that's kind of, like, the main sort of mecca for game development. And Embracer has, in Montreal, Eidos and Crystal Dynamics, and they kind of bought that from Square Enix West. Basically, Square Enix West kind of, like, was separated from Square Enix in general. And Square Enix basically still has, like, a West, like, in a UK studio. But, yeah, Eidos and Crystal Dynamics are basically still there. And I'm scared for them because I keep hearing, like, weird sort of rumblings and rumors of, like, Embracer doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that's kind of now kind of been seeing in other places, including this. It's like, Embracer just is like, with, like, I did not realize that Saudi deal, losing that, is such a huge thing for Embracer. It's like, we ain't got no money no
more. Well, it was the their financial call that they did, right?
Yes.
Where they got on stage and they talked about like a mystery.
Oh, that was the mystery deal. Sorry.
That was the mystery deal, right? And so that was them. The way they talked about it was like, this was an industry defining, like, this was going to be everything for us. And you know, it fell through the cracks of our fingers, right? Like it slipped between us, right? And like that, I mean, having a deal like that, and like having it be a deal with, again, like an entity that we look at everything that's going down with the Savvy Games thing, right?
Yeah.
And like it, so much of it is filled with dread because it is somebody in like a company with a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
A country with a lot of money.
Seems like it. I don't know.
wanting to invest in video games and wanting to, you know, go into that space. And like now, like they basically own SNK. They have a percentage of Nintendo. They have a percentage of so many of the companies that we know, right? And it feels like it is more of a, hey, we're doing this as a hobby more than anything because we got some money to blow. We want to invest in video games because, hey, like, we like video games, so let's fucking spend some money on
it. It's interesting, too, because from what I had heard from some folks is that Embracer's kind of more like a money company than necessarily a game development company. Like, got into games kind of in a way that's sort of like, oh, it makes money. Okay, we'll invest in buying some studios. Because from what I had was told, like, when, you know, studios were being bought by Embracer, is like, Embracer was going to be kind of hands-off. It's like, you make the games, we'll just, you know, provide the money. And I guess, I don't know, it's like hedge investor funds, whatever, you know, dry up. It's, you gotta get rid of some of the fat.
Now we gotta get in there. Now we gotta, like, actually make the decisions to lean up and lay off and do all these things.
They bit off more than they can chew. And I'm like, wait, because how is THQ Nordic, too? Like, because they were doing the same thing, and then we haven't heard really much about them for a while.
This is THQ Nordic.
Okay, so the Embracer did have THQ.
Well, THQ Nordic rebranded
as Embracer. Okay.
And I believe there's also another THQ Nordic that is under Embracer as well.
That's so confusing. Why?
It's very confusing. Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know. And it's scary. I'm scared, too, because, like, KOTOR, like, I would love to be able to see a new generation be able to embrace, like, kind of, like, one of the best Star Wars games, in my opinion. And it, like, and I know that people were, like, sort of, like, wanting it to be, like, not getting rid of, like, the turn-based, like action. And here's the thing. Here's a side note. Let me go on a small rant for a second. I don't care who you are. Why do you have, like, for those of you who have any issues with turn-based games, why? Why do you want to be able to, like, change it? And like, because I saw, like, someone, like, trying to tweet, like Baldur's Gate needs to change to an action, like, a real-time action game instead of a turn-based. I'm like,
listen,
do you not know D&D? Like,
here's the thing, right? I press square. When I press square, I want my character to do this. I want my character to start slashing.
Oh, no, bless. You're not.
And I want to press square, square, triangle and do, like, a slash, slash, heavy slash. You know
oh,
what I
no,
mean?
We left or maybe you like, dark side,
maybe
Bless.
I press,
oh, no.
I press R1, God. Or I press R, I hold R2 for like a charge.
Bless, no.
Bless, here's
no.
the thing. You
know
just
what I mean?
Became
no,
a PC
no.
gamer. You got it. You got to be on our side, dude. I had my first hit tweet because of this whole thing, Steve, which was really weird. Because I tweeted this. I'm tired of the anti-turn-based sentiment that's been growing the past few years. We all played Pokemon as kids grow up. Which was more
I saw that. That was a good tweet. That was very good.
It was just very cheeky, like, whatever. I don't, like, I didn't really care. And then, like, I muted it because I was getting a lot of notifications, and I came back the next day. I had 15,000 likes. I was like, oh, Jesus. I don't like this attention. But, let turn-based be turn-based games.
Exactly.
I'm with you, Steve.
So I'm hoping that maybe that was not Embracer sort of thing. We got to have an action. I'm like, okay, we need turn-based coder back.
For people in chat that think I'm serious, one of my favorite games is chess. All right, I like turn-based shit.
We both like Persona. Like,
yeah, I love Persona 4 and Persona 5. Right,
it's Greg's PC bit, but you know, Blessed isn't. You know,
but like, listen, but how cool would it be, right? How cool would it be if you're playing Pokemon? And, like, you're a Charizard, right? You press triangle and fucking fire blast. And then you press square and you do a flamethrower. And then you press circle and he does, like, a dash. And you can dodge Squirtle's water gun.
Bless, we are not making Pokemon into a Souls-like game, all right? Let's just cut it. Just stop it. Just stop it.
Listen, what if you were playing chess, right? And, like, you're the queen and you press triangle and you brought up a shotgun. Let me tell you about this game called Shotgun King, all right? But, no, I mean, it's that I understand the idea of preference, though. You know, yeah. I don't think, like, I'm not somebody who's like, turn-based games suck because they're turn-based, right? It's like, no, video games have their own mechanics. Like, things should operate the way they want to. But, like, I definitely understand the idea of not being able to get into Baldur's Gate because it's turn-based, but also that just means Baldur's Gate probably isn't for you, right?
Yeah,
you
exactly. Don't be like, they should completely change the fabric of their game so it can appeal to me because I don't like turn-based, you know?
Yeah, and if you want, and especially even with Star Wars, if you want a good, like action Star Wars, you play the Jedi series. Come on.
Exactly.
Let people play Coder the way they wanted to play Coder back in the day.
Yeah.
So speaking of where do we go from here with Coder, right? Jake Rocks 007 writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, with KOTOR remake from Aspyr being from what it looks like canceled, but still being a huge IP, who do you believe Disney will go to who do you think Disney will go to next to make this remake? Who is your dream studio to make it? And do you believe PlayStation will keep the exclusive rights or will Xbox pursue it with all the bad press they got for not originally securing it? This is a fascinating one because for that last question, I think there are so many moving parts to who is talking to who for like this remake getting made, right? Is it a PlayStation and Disney thing, and then like they approach Embracer/Aspyr as a third party and go, hey, can you make this for us? Or like, you know, where does this begin and where does this end? I would imagine that if the Aspyr version of this ends up getting canceled, let's say Embracer, because it seems like the Aspyr version is already canceled.
Right.
If Embracer Group is not making this game anymore because they need to keep exploding Lord of the Rings,
right?
Is it on PlayStation to go, all right, we're going to approach somebody else, right? Or is it on Disney to go, all right, let's renegotiate what this deal is with this game? All of that, I think, is up in the air. We don't really know.
I think so, because it's like it depends on, okay, what the Disney deal was that exclusive to just PlayStation, and then PlayStation was the one who decided what studio to work with. Or is it that Disney can basically, it doesn't have to be a PlayStation exclusive. It could be like an Xbox. I mean, I don't know. Heck, like a Nintendo. I don't, that's a weird one. But I don't know. I guess it really just depends on what that deal is. If it is a PlayStation exclusive, you know, this is a crazy thought.
Crazy thought. Hit me with
it. I mean, we're coming off the success of one of like the best sort of like RPGs. Not the most accessible. We'll get into that maybe a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But imagine Larian Studios.
Ooh, see, that was in my mental shortlist.
Yeah.
Larian Studios KOTOR. That would be possibly one of the greatest games ever.
Because, I mean, they've been in the fantasy realm for a long time. I would love to see what they could be able to do for a sci-fi, and especially something as big of an IP as Star Wars.
Yeah. I think that would be such a slam dunk. I was going to say, like, would that speak as a PlayStation console game? But I guess Baldur's Gate 3 seems to be doing pretty well on console as far as I can gather. And so, like, and also, you know, it seems the KOTOR remake was also coming to PC. And so you have that audience there, too, that you can also cater to.
True.
And so I think that would be such a slam dunk. I would love it if, I don't know how Larian works, if they are the kind of studio that could split into multiple teams, because I'm sure they want to do the next Divinity Original Sin as well, right? I'm sure they want to do the next Baldur's Gate. Would they be able to work on multiple things at the same time?
I don't know. I mean, that's the million-dollar question. It's like, could they be able to do it? I mean, or if they are like, you know what, we kind of want to get out of fantasy for a bit and try something new, and KOTOR might be the one to do it. like BioWare basically like as much as I would love it for it to be able to go back and redo it, I don't think that they're at a position that they could. So
no, because BioWare also they have their next two titles already announced.
Exactly,
they're doing the next Mass Effect and they're doing the next Dragon Age. And I honestly I want to see them prove themselves with their next couple of games before they go to KOTOR, because the last few BioWare games haven't hit all the way. And so I want to get kind of see them get that footing back and then maybe then go back to doing KOTOR. One I'll throw out on the PlayStation exclusive side would be Bluepoint.
Bluepoint would be good. Yeah.
Bluepoint knows how to do a remake. And that was for me one of my trepidations when it came to Aspyr. Aspyr, we know for like doing general ports and remasters. Like Aspyr hasn't really done a big name remake in the way that we would want a KOTOR remake to be. And so Bluepoint has done that with Shadow. They have done that with Demon's Souls. And I think we're only seeing them veer into like more and more complex style games, right? Like Shadow Colossus as a remake is like Shadow Colossus, work of art, masterpiece, one of my favorite games ever.
Yep.
I could see how a studio that is like coming in as a third party and remaking this thing could like nail that, because I think it's a smaller scale title compared to like even a Demon's Souls. As you get to Demon's Souls and it is, all right, there's a bit more like work that needs to be put into this. I think KOTOR is the next step of we're only getting deeper and deeper and more complex as we go. And I think they could nail that based on their trajectory.
Potentially. I mean, yeah, it also kind of like it depends on, again, it's like, is it a PlayStation exclusive too? Because I'm now thinking even on like, say, if it's not and it could be on the Xbox side, imagine like an Obsidian or Bethesda, run KOTOR. Like, is that, they know RPGs and they know, and also Obsidian knows sci-fi RPGs too. And now with Bethesda with Starfield too. So I think it's like it's potential. But I had a question though. Has Bluepoint actually announced what they're working on, or are we still speculating on what they're working on?
We're still speculating. I think
How long has it been?
There was
Bloodborne remake any day now. We're gonna get.
We're never gonna.
You guys
get
have been saying that forever.
the last thing we heard was that they're working on some like original content.
Original content?
Original content, which literally could mean anything. And so right now, I think it's just impossible to speculate. You know, I would hope that they're making I guess the hope before was like Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear Solid 3, but that was announced and that's not them.
Yeah.
Right? That's Konami and that's, what are they called? A virtuous studio that's working on that.
Right, yeah, that weird name that they kind of announced like, oh yeah, no, we're working on it. Like,
yeah.
That weird tweet was weird.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of contenders for who could work on a KOTOR remake and actually make it a banger. The question is, who has the bandwidth? Like,
exactly.
Who has the time to take it on? Because that's a big project, and all the names you mentioned probably are already working on their own big projects. And so
potentially, yeah. And it's like, I know probably some folks are probably thinking, well, we'll just, you know, give it to Respawn. It's like, they know how to make good Star Wars games. Like, they're already working on another Star Wars game. So we don't need another thing on their plate. Or, you know, I mean, here's the thing. Who knows? Maybe the EA's reputation with Disney has kind of improved, and they could be like, hey, EA, choose one of your studios. Yeah. You know,
EA is going to choose a studio, I think it would be BioWare, right? And again, BioWare is working on all these two other games. It's tough. Yeah. It's like a tough thing to balance. If I had a guess, I think this game would get canceled. I don't know if we're going to see a KOTOR remake.
Which is sad. Yeah. I'm probably with you. It's like, as much I would love to be able to see like a studio be able to pick it up, but if they're already like deleting tweets and this is like, this doesn't look like it's going to happen, it's probably going to be like silently canceled, and now that it's out there, probably they'll have to make a public thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if, if soon we get the public cancellation of KOTOR. It sounds so aggressive because of what the word cancel means now, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens soon based on PlayStation delisting the the YouTube or the videos and deleting the tweets. But hey, we'll see. Story number two. Epic says Fall Guys remains a priority after Mediatonic at Mediatonic after reports of widespread layoffs. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Epic Games has said Mediatonic's work on Fall Guys remains a company priority following reports that the UK studio had been hit hard by layoffs. Fortnite maker Epic confirmed on Thursday that it planned to lay off around 830 employees, or 16% of its total workforce. Mediatonic, which was acquired by Epic in 2021 and employed some 300 developers, was hit very hard by the layoffs, according to Bloomberg's Jason Schreier, who broke the news of mass cuts at Epic ahead of the company's official announcement. Some reports initially claimed that the entire Mediatonic team was being laid off, but Epic denied this in a statement to VGC. Quote, "This is false," a spokesperson said. "Mediatonic's work on Fall Guys continues to be a company priority," end quote. quote.
Then why lay off pretty much majority of their employees? If it's a priority, what the hell?
Do you know what's so funny is that right before
here's the thing. The IP is important to them. The people know.
That's why it's a priority. Yeah,
what's funny is that right before this, we were talking about how you and Barrett like are voice twins. And I could have sworn that was Barrett at first when you first opened your mouth. Like, there was a video delay that was, like, just enough for me where, like, I didn't see you talk. And I was like, oh, yeah, surely that's Barrett talking.
Yeah.
That was insane.
It's Steve and then H. John Benjamin that I get all the time. That's what we...
I don't know who's talking right now. I don't know who's talking.
I had to. It's great.
Good job, Steve.
Love you, Barrett.
God dang.
That's damage control 1000%. Like, oh, it's a company priority, especially with like majority of that studio being laid off and only a couple people basically left at Mediatonic, which is sad because it's like one of Epic's sort of like biggest wins was purchasing of Mediatonic and having that huge sort of hit with Fall Guys. And it just seems that like at least all of what Mediatonic has been doing over the past little bit, like even with obviously they had a big drop off since the pandemic, you know, not a lot of people were playing at as much, but they were adding a bunch of new cool stuff for the community, like the creator mode and being able to have people create their own courses and stuff like that. And who knows what that support's going to be like in the future now that pretty much the majority of it's gone. And it sucks. Like yesterday I kept getting like messages. I had a few friends who were part of the layoffs at Epic, and it's including some in the accessibility space, which I was very, very upset by. And it sucks. And
yeah.
I don't know. Layoffs suck, and and let me go on a small rate here. It's a bullshit tactic. Like, mm-hmm. Tim Sweeney makes what? Like millions of dollars? And the thing that I like, because I saw something earlier today, it's like, Nintendo, their execs at one point had dropped their salaries just in order to be able to keep layoffs. Like, why can't like Epic do this? And I know it's like it's capitalism, whatever, but it's bullshit and it's terrible because, and especially with that, you guys brought up that article yesterday from The Gamer, I think it was about like it's the worst year in 2023 for gaming. And as much as all these games are coming out this year and all these bangers of games that people are loving and playing, it has been the worst year for game devs. Like being on the game dev side, I have seen the stress and the anxiety and the, like, you never know from a day-to-day basis whether or not you're going to log into Slack and you just don't have access anymore. I know some folks and some friends are like, they log into Slack and like, today could be the day, and they just have no idea. And with so like thousands of people being laid off, the whole Unity thing, and it's just... It's terrible for video game content creators when considering that during the whole pandemic, video games made more money. They were
so
the only medium that made money out of the entire pandemic. And as a cost-saving measure, like they decide, like the first thing that they decide to do is, you know, well, let's just do a bunch of layoffs. And this, like, is this the biggest that we've had this year of the amount of layoffs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's
830 employees is like, I don't recall ever seeing that number before when we talk about layoffs in the video games industry, right? Like, the fact that, I mean, Steve, you nailed it on the head, right? The fact that we are coming off of an era where video games saw a trajectory in growth greater than ever before because of the pandemic, because we were staying at home, because, you know, like, people went to video games as their, like, comfort, right? Like, video games made so much money, let alone new console releases and all that stuff. You know, like video games have made so much money in the last few years. Fortnite has made so much money in the last 6 years, right? And like, all right, cool. That results in laying off 16% of your total workforce.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that's me just talking about Fortnite, not even bringing in the Unreal Engine into it, right? Not even bringing in Epic Game Store and how much money you make across all of these things.
And what was it that Tim had said in his like apology letter, quote unquote, where he was like, oh yeah, that Fortnite create didn't really, you know, bring in the amount of money that we were hoping for. It's like, you have like, and oh yeah, and it's, oh, then they said like, oh, the metaverse was like, that we tried, you know, was not exactly, you know, the greatest idea. It's like, basically they're saying, it's like, oops, are bad, but you're the one that basically deals the brunt of it.
That's the thing is like when the failure is on the big creative direction that you're taking, right? And like, when your failure is on what the bulk of these people getting laid off have nothing to do with, right? They're just there to like to see through your vision, right? They're there to like make sure that like, hey, you at the top are wanting to make a metaverse happen. All right, cool. I guess my job is to see through your vision, right? And like the fact that they're the one that see the brunt of the consequence because now they don't have a job. Like there should be things in place. There should be plan Bs in place of, hey, we're taking a risk on the metaverse. What happens if and when this doesn't work out for us, right? Like, how do we make sure that people, that we don't lose 16% of our workforce through this? That seems very foolish to me that you would put all your eggs in that basket and go, yeah, the risk of laying off over 800 people is worth it.
Exactly. That's insane to me. Just to save a decimal point in its spreadsheet somewhere. So, I mean, like, I know, again, you know, kind of funny, have your own Epic creator code, but I'm just going to say
of course.
Fuck Tim Sweeney. Just saying that. I'm just going to say it. Fuck Tim Sweeney.
And also, Barrett did bring up that it's not millions.
Oh, it's billions. He's worth $9.6 billion. That's
lose a billion. Like, why? Just take a billion. It's give it not back.
Even, it wouldn't even be a billion to, like, have the money to secure, to keep a job security for all of those people.
Exactly. That, like, for not only just, like all of the employees that they just laid off, but, like, keep them employed for a couple years.
Yeah.
Like, that is... Oh, it sucks.
Tim Sweeney could misplace a billion and not even realize it.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like this, and then plus also, like, companies are now in a hiring freeze. Like, I'll say even just on the accessibility side for consulting, there's been a lot of, like, uncertainty for me this year, like, being able to, like, land, like, consulting gigs because everyone is in, like, we need to, you know, tighten up and save money, so, like, as much as we can and stuff like that. I'm like, it's bullshit. It's bullshit, I tell you.
Man, it sucks.
Yeah. It sucks.
You know what doesn't suck?
No.
The fact that you can help us at Kinda Funny have job security by using the Epic Creator Code, but also going to kindoffunny.com/Patreon or patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get exclusive shows like the Kinda Funny Next Gen podcast, like Kinda Feedy, and like so much more. But you can go there and you can also get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Did you burn your last piece of toast? Have the avocados gone bad? Is the hot sauce bottle empty? You can try grocery delivery from DoorDash. You'll get everything you want delivered when you need it right to your door. You've trusted DoorDash to deliver your restaurant favorites, and now you can get grocery delivery that actually delivers too. You already know how much all of us here at Kinda Funny love DoorDash, but with thousands of grocery stores to choose from, you'll find the best in your neighborhood and boost your local economy with each and every order. You'll get exactly what you ordered, or they'll make it right. You want even more value? You can save on all of your grocery and restaurant favorites with a $0 delivery fee on all eligible orders with a DashPass membership. With easy substitutes right in the app and best-in-class customer support, you can get 50% off your first DoorDash order up to a $20 value when you use code KINDA at checkout. That's 50% off up to $20, no minimum subtotal, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDA. Don't forget, that's code KINDA for 50% off your first order with DoorDash. This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. 20. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. And it has surprised multiple of my friends and people at Kind of Funny how many subscriptions they have that they forgot they are still paying for. That's why I'm such a big fan of Rocket Money. It's so easy to cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bills and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. One more time, rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Steve, I have you here on a perfect day.
Okay.
Story number three, we get to talk about accessibility. Right, specifically Spider-Man 2 accessibility. But before we even get to the story, I didn't like take a second at the beginning of the show to like talk to you about you and what you've been up to.
Oh,
Steve, what you been up to lately?
So I've thanks for the softball sort of a segue, but I actually this year again, like I mentioned, it's like, you know, not being able to do a lot of sort of accessibility gigs, which is, you know, great. Like I've been doing fine that way. And past few years has been really great for me, like just in content creation in general. But I figured like I need to sort of like take a bit of a risk and try to be able to do some new stuff. And there's been some things I've been wanting to be able to do, but just have not had the resources to do it. And so I started up my own Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/SteveSaylor and I've been doing some cool stuff there where basically I'm going to be doing like a biweekly newsletter talking about sort of just thoughts about the accessibility in the community. I'm going to be doing sort of like a biweekly vlog, maybe a little bit more like kind of like a Greg Way sort of deal because I've been wanting to be able to get into Magic the Gathering. And so I was just like, I feel like that's kind of a great way to be able to try that out. And then I've also been wanting to be able to do more reviews, but I wanted to know kind of what games people wanted me to be able to review. So I figure it's a patron voted game. They decide on what game I get to play and they get to sort of see the entire review process of how I go through reviewing games for accessibility. And they'll see all my notes, all my first impressions, and maybe some live streams here and there. And then basically once a month, we'll have like an accessibility game review that will go up on my YouTube channel and they get early access for stuff. And then also if anyone needs to be able to have accessibility consulting, they can be able to, you know, hire me for like a one-on-one 30-minute session and talk about accessibility and stuff like that. So and there's, you know, some other stuff in the works, maybe some TRPG stuff or some podcasting stuff I kind of want to do. So just basically allow me to be able to do more in the accessibility space, but you know, also be able to get, you know, have a roof over my head too. So patreon.com/SteveSaylor. I would appreciate you check that out.
And one more time, where can people follow you on Twitter if they wanted to follow your work?
Steve Saylor pretty much everywhere, including like, you know, Blue Sky, Threads, all that, wherever we decide all to land after, you know, Twitter. And then and also on YouTube as well. And then Twitch and TikTok, Blind Gamer Steve.
There you go. Is that a link tree? What is the
what's a link tree? What? I don't know. What's
Barrett's brought up the thing on the stream.
Is it my link of all the stuff I got?
Yeah, it's really fancy.
I was gonna say this is the fanciest looking link tree I've ever seen in my life.
It's actually my own website. So
it's your website.
Yeah,
oh yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah,
sweet. All right, let's get into story number three. Marvel Spider-Man 2 accessibility features have been detailed by PlayStation. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. PlayStation has detailed the wealth of accessibility features coming to Marvel Spider-Man 2 at launch on October 20th. Revealed on the PlayStation blog, Insomniac Games advanced senior UX researcher Michelle Zarrilla outlined the new and returning features intended to let as many people as possible play the game. Accessibility design researcher Sam Schaffel also took to the PlayStation blog to explain how the PlayStation Access controller can be used effectively with Spider-Man 2. Alongside the previously revealed ability to slow down gameplay, Insomniac has also added shortcuts that allow players to assign a variety of options to the left or right D-pad buttons. Level modifiers take difficulty options one step further, letting players individually customize each gameplay element, such as enemy health, enemy damage, stealth awareness, puzzle complexity, parry timing, and more. Other gameplay assists look to make other parts of Spider-Man 2 more accessible, such as the chase assist, which returns to reduce the speed of targets and increase how long players have before they escape, amongst other features. QuickTime Event Autocomplete also looks to reduce motor fatigue by changing repeated button presses from taps to hold, and more. Audio frequency controls will also allow players to disable uncomfortable sounds like high-pitched ringing with high-frequency cutoff, the bass of an explosion with low-frequency cutoff, or modify things further with a custom setting. Insomniac also has plans to add more accessibility features like audio descriptions, a screen reader, and captions, but these won't be available at launch and will instead arrive in a free update in December. Steve,
yes.
As the accessibility expert in my life, how do you take to this stuff? I know PlayStation's been doing a good job of evolving their accessibility stuff over the years. How would you describe the state of PlayStation first party accessibility nowadays?
I would say it's in a very good spot. I mean, with accessibility, like, there's a kind of a difference, the approaches, depending on where you are. Like, Xbox, they have a lot of accessibility as part of their culture. It's just it hasn't yet to be able to can be kind of translated into some of their games, but a lot of their games kind of had been started prior to having accessibility as part of that culture. Whereas PlayStation, it's kind of been on a studio by studio basis, and with them having the huge success of The Last of Us 2, PlayStation definitely saw not only the financial benefits but also the benefits for players in general to be able to include more accessibility. And Insomniac has actually have been killing it with accessibility ever since, like, even going back to before even the Spider-Man remastered version came out. Like, the original Spider-Man in 2018 actually had some accessibility in there that we had not seen before. Actually, the being able to complete QuickTime events, mm-hmm. Have that all complete, that was back in 2018, and they've only been improving since then, including adding a ton of accessibility into Miles Morales that they eventually were able to add, like, they're also able to add in to Remastered, and then they improved it even further with Ratchet and Clank. Like, some of the, like, the game speed option that's going to be in Spider-Man 2 is actually from Ratchet and Clank, and that was sort of a big sort of hit for them, because you can be able to turn that on as you can be able to, like, when you go into combat, and you can be able to set the speed of that of the game from, like, a 70 to a 30 to a, or 70 to 50 to a 30%, and you can be able to do that here in Spider-Man 2 as well. So each time that each new game that Insomniac has been doing, they've been increasing and adding more accessibility as they go. And also, you mentioned there, like, a Sam Schaffel, he's not on social media except on LinkedIn, and I wish he was, because he needs the biggest kudos you could be able to get in this industry, because Sam worked on The Last of Us 2 at Naughty Dog. He was like one of the biggest proponents for accessibility at Naughty Dog, one of the early proponents for accessibility at Naughty Dog, won a game award for it. He then moved to Sony Santa Monica, worked on God of War Ragnarok, and also got a game award for it. And now he's at Insomniac working on Spider-Man 2. And I'm just like, he has been moving from studio to studio and absolutely killing it for accessibility.
That's awesome.
And it's so great to be able to see, like, now that kind of being paid off. Now, there is a caveat to that. With all of these accessibility that's going to be in Spider-Man 2, unfortunately, with them saying that they are going to be doing a later update for audio descriptions and a screen reader and full captions, that does mean that disabled players can't play the game until 2 months after launch, which is, I mean, this is the first time that PlayStation has actually been transparent of what they're not going to have available at launch, but it is coming, and they've actually given a date, because we were also, earlier this year was Star Wars Jedi Survivor. They did promise that they were going to do have a screen reader in the game, and they were going to have that as a future update, but that has yet to be put out. Mm. obviously because, you know, they have had to fix all the PC issues that they've had. So that's been kind of, you know, deprioritized a little bit. But to see that at least PlayStation is acknowledging, okay, it's not going to be available at launch, but in December, it's going to be available as a free update. That does give hope, but I hope that it doesn't get delayed. Because if it gets delayed, then that just means that more disabled players won't be able to play. And that's the thing, like audio description, screen reader, and full captions are things that are super critical for players. Audio descriptions and obviously screen reader for sure for blind players, because obviously not being able to know what's going on in a game and there's no description for it or no screen reader, like how the heck are blind players supposed to be able to play, even with all the other low vision and blind accessibility they have in there. But full captions as well, that also affects deaf and hard of hearing players. And there might be some folks who are like, wait, what's the difference between captions and subtitles? Subtitles is just for dialogue. Full captions is stuff like sound effects and like if a character sighs, that kind of like sound effect can be able to come up. And actually, that's the thing, they have been really good with that too, because even in Miles Morales, I can't remember the character's name, but there is a deaf NPC, yes. that artist. And what's cool is they actually had a, like if you played it, obviously you have subtitles for when they're basically when they're translating in ASL, but they actually also had recorded ASL those subtitles as dialogue, as narrated dialogue, and they actually hired a deaf actor to record those lines too. So it was like it's great that they're working on a bunch of stuff. It's like it sucks that this is not available at launch. And I don't know. I actually will be reviewing it. I did get a code yesterday, so I will be also reviewing it for accessibility. So I'll definitely get my full thoughts. Was it the 16th? I think is when the embargo comes out. So I'll have my full thoughts on my YouTube channel after that. But it's both good and bad. I'm excited for this. Insomniac just kills it for accessibility, but it just sucks that these things are not available for launch.
Really quick, the character is Haley from Miles Morales, and the actress is Natasha Ofili. Nice. So shout out,
and I think she's coming back in from what I heard.
Oh, nice!
Like, because there is an option in there for ASL narration. I did see that from the article too. So
sick.
Yeah,
I want to bring in a question from Jason Neon Mira, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Good day from Sydney, Australia. As an assistive technology specialist working with those who are vision impaired, I've always been a champion of accessibility in games. Since I have a lot of clients who are young and would like to play games like their friends do, I'm always on the lookout for accessible games that can help my clients. AAA games such as 1-2 Switch, which Steve recommended last time, mm-hmm. The Last of Us, God of War, and smaller indie games with voiceover on the iPhone, like A Dark Room and A Blind Legend, are some of the games I recommend to my clients. What games released in 2023 have the best accessibility features, and what accessibility features should be standard in all games? I think things like a larger cursor for point-and-click games, increased contrast for text, and adjustable font sizes should be standard, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thank you for all being amazing people and producing great content. Honestly, last year has been rough for me, and listening to KF content has always helped put a smile on my face every single day. Steve, I love the work you do in the accessibility space when it comes to video games, and I aspire to be an awesome human being just like you. With love, aww. Jason.
Jason's a homie. He's a great dude.
What a nice writing.
Yeah. But to answer his question, as far as like the good thing is actually, because I'm on the jury, the nomination jury every year for the Game Awards, and we basically get to help to sort of decide what games to nominate for the Innovation and Accessibility Award each year. And I've been noticing that over the past few years since they've been doing it. At first, it was a struggle just to try to be able to have like to fill the category of five games. Like when the first one the category was announced, the Last of Us 2 won, and obviously you know that was deservedly the winner of that year. But it was a struggle trying to be able to find other games to be able to fill that category. But each year has been sort of improving. Where the next year after that, it was like okay, we got a good five games to be able to like nominate. And then last year it was like maybe one or two didn't really make the nomination list. Is sort of like let's see who actually what makes it. This year is the first year I have no clue what's going to be in the top five, because there's been some really great games for accessibility this year that have been fantastic. Like going back earlier in the year, Dead Space with their content warnings, being able to like blur any of like any gore or any like specific situations, and having those warnings of like, hey, this scene coming up is going to have this in it, is that that's a big sort of innovation in accessibility. Star Wars Jedi Survivor was like a big improvement over Jedi Fallen Order as far as accessibility is concerned. And then we've had some like Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat 1 is the most accessible game for blind players I have ever seen. It has
really,
yeah, the audio descriptions in that. Bless. Let me tell you, if you've heard the audio descriptions for the fatalities in Mortal Kombat,
oh,
1,
you know what? I did see one on TikTok.
It is just as brutal as the actual fatalities themselves.
Yeah. And it's great because like the voice is very much like Raiden snaps the spine out of Kung Lao's.
It's so cold.
Pulled it through his body and then re-stabs him in the chest with his own spine. It's like, whoa.
I know. Calm down.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And then they also have like a full screen reader. They have audio cues for every single attack and including like how close you are to your opponent on each map and how far you are to each edge of the stage. Like it is by far, and it basically gives you all the information you need so that you could still learn to be able to play like the game yourself, because a lot of times some people think that accessibility is kind of like set to like an easy mode or it's like a very on rails experience, but this is like it's giving you all the information that you need to be able to get better, to be able to practice and get and be able to do really well in that game. That and also the same thing with Forza coming up. They have a new accessibility mode called Blind Drive Assist, where they have audio cues for letting you know where you are on like close to the edge of the track or not, and also like when you're going in, like there's an IQ for going into a turn, coming into an apex of a turn, and getting out of a turn. When to deaccelerate, also what it gives an audio voiceover of like what turn's coming up and which like turn left or right or the severity of that turn. Like it gives you all the information to be able to not only be able to race but also be able to compete. And I have a video on my YouTube channel where I actually like won a race just from Blind Drive Assist alone. So that is going to be a big contender for sure. Spider-Man 2 is going to be a big contender for accessible game of the year. Like it is, and Assassin's Creed Mirage, Ubisoft always kills it when it comes to accessibility. So we're eating really well for accessibility in 2023, which is great.
Love that. And then yeah, for the one more thing with Jason's question, right? Like, was there? Well, can you give me one or two accessibility features that you think should be standard in all games?
It's difficult to sort of describe standards because every game is different and everyone tries to be able to have their games different than anything else. Because I say like, oh yeah, you'd be sort of a given that, oh yeah, subtitles will kind of be a standard. But if, say, your game doesn't have any dialogue, does it really need any subtitles? So it's stuff like that. I would say probably the biggest one that I'm always a big proponent for is text size. I still don't understand how or why that's an aesthetic and that people can actually be able to read some of the text size that is in games today, especially in 2023, and especially as people want to be able to play games on a Steam Deck or on a Switch or just on cloud gaming in general. And if we want to be able to, like, you know, move forward, we're going to have sort of like an adaptive like screen size or at least text size that will adapt to basically whatever screen you're on. So that only benefits like blind, low vision players, but that can benefit everybody. I mean, bless, how many times you probably played Baldur's Gate and realize that text is really small, like playing out on the Steam Deck or whatever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I don't know why, like, and I would even say this with Starfield. I did not realize when Todd Howard came on the XCast and said that they would have big font mode, that's the only accessibility feature that they had.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I found out – so here's a side thing. I found out the reason why they added that and the reason why you mentioned that was because of all the complaints from the Direct. Because I complained about it and a few other folks complained about the text size. Mm-hmm. They decided to do that then.
Dang.
Yeah. So – yeah, I would say tech size is standard. Yeah. Yeah.
You'd hope that, like, now that they're a bit more integrated with Xbox, right? You talk about the culture and how, like, you know, sure, Xbox kind of has the culture, right? And, like, I think PlayStation has the, like, that ecosystem going with the way that those studios collaborate and the way that, I forget the name of the dude, Scheffel. Sam Scheffel apparently is just, like, fucking, like, going from studio to studio. You would hope that, like, by the time, like, you'd hope that now that Bethesda has been under Xbox for long enough, it's like, hey, this has to become more of a standard because as Xbox, we want to be able to do this, right? And so hopefully that comes in an update. Hopefully you see that happen, but it sucks that at launch they weren't able to make that stuff happen.
It's one of those. It's like, it definitely is, like, yeah, people say, well, why is it Xbox? Like, why can't, like, you know, Bethesda be able to actually be able to do anything for accessibility? And it really comes down to the studio. If they are not invested in accessibility, then there's not much that Xbox can be able to, like, they don't want to force accessibility into games because then that sort of basically promotes that, okay, we'll just do a checklist of, and then that's it. There's no innovation there. So. Yeah. I would love to be able to see Bethesda to be able to do more, especially, like, I would love to be able to play a good Indiana Jones game. I would love to be able to play Elder Scrolls 6. I can't play any Elder Scrolls games because of the lack of accessibility.
Indiana Jones gets ran over by a giant boulder. As blood splatters on the wall.
I mean, you joke, but
I love it, dude. I remember like the first time where I was watching Kingsman in the day, and like they had that thing, and like me and my friends discovered it on accident. We're like, "What's this?" And like we started it, and we're like, "This is incredible."
I would say it's like, "Oh yeah, it's great." And here's the thing too: audio descriptions has been around for quite a while. Like if you go watch like Ahsoka with an audio description,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's
That's
good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Story number four, speaking of Bethesda.
These little turtle freaks pop out to lead Sabine Wren to their little village where there's little baby turtle freaks.
And Ezra with his blindingly bright blue eyes.
It's live action this time.
Yeah.
Story number four. I got a real good laugh out of Barrett. Bethesda surprise launched the Elder Scrolls Castles. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Bethesda shadow dropped a new mobile game set in the Elder Scrolls universe. Available in early access for Android, the Elder Scrolls Castles appears to be a Fallout Shelter-style simulation game. Quote, from Bethesda Game Studios, the award-winning developer behind Skyrim and Fallout Shelter, comes The Elder Scrolls Castles, a new mobile game that puts you in control of your very own castle and dynasty, reads the game's Google Play store listing. Barrett, I just realized that like this was one that probably could have used the trailer in the background, so if you're able to search that up, I'd appreciate that. Quote, oversee your subjects as the years come and go, families grow, and new rulers take the throne, end quote. Bethesda's previous mobile releases include 2015's construction and management sim Fallout Shelter, 2017's digital card game The Elder Scrolls Legends, and 2019's RPG The Elder Scrolls Blades, all of which are free to play. Bethesda's Todd Howard revealed last December that the studio was working on an unannounced mobile game. In an interview with the Lex Friedman podcast, which I feel like we've been referencing this interview forever. Like, god dang. Todd Howard said he was in love with the mystery project. While not revealing specific details about the game, Howard suggested it would target younger players comfortable using mobile devices for relatively lengthy play sessions. Barrett, thank you so much. Shout out to you for getting this. It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks neat. I'm not going to lie. I actually, when I read the title this morning, I thought this was the Blades game. I was like, wait, didn't we already have this already? Dude, it just hasn't come out yet. So,
what happened with the Blades game? Because I remember seeing the reveal for it and being, oh, man, I was like, this looks cool. And then years
didn't
passed.
Did it come out?
I was saying,
did it shadow drop or something? I had no idea.
I just completely missed it.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know. Do people like Blades? Chat, is Blades good? Let me know.
Elder Scrolls Blades? Is that what I'm looking at?
Blades. Ari D. Cooper in chat says Blades was awful with, like, 8 W's.
Yeah.
People are saying no. OMG says Blades.
Blades came out in 2019.
2019?
Jacek says God. Blades is lame.
No, hold on. 2020.
Oh, real okay. Bad. So pandemic. All right. Okay. That's probably why.
Alex 1342 says it's fun.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
That's one out of like 10 people. So
exactly.
It came out on May 12th, 2020 on Android and iOS, and then May 14th, 2020 on the Nintendo Switch.
Huh.
Okay. Well, we were all still in Animal Crossing time, so I can see why people, you know, forgot about that one.
Yeah. I mean, this seems fun for the people that liked Fallout Shelter, or the people that are more into Elder Scrolls that want that kind of game. And so, yeah, like I will always support Bethesda doing weird shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, I like the fact that, hey, we of course make like these big, you know, hugely scoped titles with Fallout and Starfield and Elder Scrolls. But also, we're going to, like, have one of our some of our team members work on this, like, mobile game that is more of a management thing, right? Like, we're going to have people work on, like, this weird – like, I like that they're splitting off and doing different things, because if it was just these big, ginormous RPGs and they go away and only make those, I feel like one that can kind of get stale. But then also, yeah, like, I think you have opportunities to do fun stuff with your IP, and so I want to see more fun stuff done with your IP.
I mean, heck, it makes sense. I mean, mobile is still the dominant, you know, place to be able to play, for people to be able to play games. Like, I think I saw like a chart recently of like the top game makers, or at least, you know, people making money off of games, and I think I saw like Apple and Google is like in the top, like within like the top five or around there, and I'm like, yeah, okay, that makes sense, because, you know, like app fees and stuff like that. I mean, hey, you know, good on them for making it. I'll give it a try, see how accessible it can be, because Yeah, we'll see.
Story number five, Minecraft Dungeons support ends as the game hits 25 million players. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Mojang has ended support for Minecraft Dungeons. Co-developed by the Microsoft-owned studio and Double 11, the multi-platform Dungeon Crawler spinoff was released in May 2020. In a blog post published on Thursday, Mojang claimed the title had reached a new milestone by surpassing 25 million unique players. It also confirmed that last November's 1.17 patch was the game's final update, and that the team has now moved on to new projects that continue to explore experiences in the Minecraft universe. Quote, "This means that there are no new features or content updates planned for the game," it said. "We do not intend to continue bringing new experiences to the Minecraft."
We do intend to continue
bringing new experiences to the Minecraft universe. Can you imagine? They're like, actually, no, fuck it.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah.
No, we're done. We're done with Minecraft.
That's it, bitch. We're out.
And give our team the freedom to keep exploring the types of games they're passionate about, just as they did with Dungeons, end quote. And this is exactly what we just talked about with the last story, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you got a big IP. Don't just let it sit and, like, you know, keep doing the same thing. Find ways to experiment. Yeah, Minecraft Dungeons. I remember Joey, maybe Greg, like, having fun with it when it came out.
It was a big hit with Paris and Gary, I believe, as well.
Yeah. I know a few of my friends, like, who've been able to play this with their kids, too. And it's a fun time. And I'm sad to see, like, you got, like, 25 million players, and yet they're like, yeah, no, that's it. We're out. We're done.
Yeah. At least it's, like, it doesn't seem – I don't know what the online systems of this game are, but, like, they don't say anything here about shutting down online. It just seems like they're not patching it anymore, which I think is probably good. As long as the game is in a state where, you know, there aren't any big problems with it, like, yeah, move on. Find what the next Minecraft Dungeons is.
It just sucks that there's not going to be, like, any new content. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, if you've already kind of put in enough time in the online, and now it's like, okay, yeah, we're out. It's like, okay, what's the point of, you know, keep playing unless it's sort of like just, hey, if it's a chill game for you and you want to be able to, keep, like, have some fun and, you know, jump into a dungeon and roguelike and whatever, and by all means, go for it. But, it sucks that they're shutting it down. But I get it. Like, yeah, I want to see some new projects.
Yeah. Final news story, story number six. Speaking of shutting down, WWE 2K22 servers are going down soon. This is tweeted out by @WWEGames on Twitter. Attention, WWE 2K community. 2K22 servers will be discontinued as of January 3rd, 2024. All online modes and functions, including online matches and community creations, will no longer be available. Now is the perfect time to upgrade to WWE 2K23. Thanks for all your support. This one, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, it's a year out, and they're shutting it down?
Yeah, like, this game came out, last year.
Yeah.
And you're shutting it down in January? That is insane to me. I know it's a sports game, and so you're getting a new iteration every year, but not everybody has the money to spend on the new iteration every year.
Was this the not, like not greatly reviewed one? Like,
no, this one was reviewed well. This
22
was
reviewed well, or 23 was reviewed well?
I think both of them. 22 was like the return to.
Yeah, play. That's what I'd heard more. I heard more of 23 than I had of 22.
Yeah. So I think it was 2K19 or 2K20. One of those was like the one where it was the trash fire,
the
bugs,
okay.
All these things. Then 2K22 came out and people were like, oh, this is better. Like, this is pretty good, right? Like, I think 23, from what I can gather, is pretty much more 2K22.
Gotcha. Okay.
But like the fact that they're shutting down online, and then also the community creation stuff, that's gonna have a direct effect on things like KFW, because KFW still uses 2K22 because those creations don't carry over into 2K23.
That's what it was, because I was like wondering when you guys which ones you guys were using for KFW, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so like once this hits, like by the time we get to the next season of KFW, that means
Greg's gonna have to recreate everything.
Greg's gonna have to recreate everything in the newest 2K, and yeah, all those community creations aren't gonna be usable.
Damn.
That sucks.
Yeah. I don't understand why it's like they can't just, you know, keep the game updated, but just like update the new, like the roster as far as like who's on Raw, who's on like on SmackDown. Because I will say this, I have been getting into wrestling really big this year. Ever since WrestleMania this year, I've been following along and I actually signed up for all like to be able to watch SmackDown and Raw. And I have been loving it, and I'm sad that now I can't go back, you know, and do some character stuff in 22. I'm like,
this is obviously very much them wanting you to like invest in the new game and buy that new thing, and then when 2K24 comes out, you know, spend your money on that as well. But oh man, this feels way too soon, dude. This is way too soon.
I know.
We got a quick follow up to our story number one during the show. We got some this quote, popped up as breaking news. This is from Kotaku. A spokesperson for Sony said the KOTOR remake trailer was delisted over licensing issues. Quote, as part of normal business, we delist assets with licensed music when the licenses expire, they told Kotaku in an email. The only music in the trailer seems to be the main Star Wars theme, which is owned by Disney.
They got a deal with Disney! How could...
Well, here's the thing.
You're telling me you're... The game... Hold on. The game that you're making... That is licensed Star Wars. Yeah. You're telling me that the Star Wars music expired for that game that you're making for the trailer?
Well, okay, here's the thing. They announced this in 2021. I forget if that initial trailer had a year on it, but I do wonder if it was, like, supposed to, like, at least in, like, their initial kind of, like, development plans, if that was supposed to maybe come out this year, you know, and then at this point, you know, like the game's out, maybe the licensing kind of runs out soon after, but they were going to plan on renewing it once they like a little bit after the game was out or something like that. But because it's been such a fucking shit show over there, yeah. I wonder if they're just like
the way it. I read it is like PlayStation's like, you don't even know if this game's coming out anymore.
Exactly.
So don't renew it. Like
they have other trailers that have the Star Wars theme. Like, why?
Yeah, if I look up the trailer for Star Wars fucking Jedi Unleashed, that's not the name of the game, Star Wars Unleashed from
Force,
2010.
Force Unleashed Blessing.
Force Unleashed, thank you. Force Unleashed.
God.
Thank you, Star Wars nerd. If I look up the trailer for Force Unleashed, the launch trailer.
Don't get that confused with Force Awakens, though.
I'm sure the launch or the announcement trailer probably still up on EA's official channels. All right? That wasn't even an EA game, was it?
It wasn't, all right? I forget who made it.
I butchered that
whole
thing.
But it was sick as hell.
The Strax was a THQ joint. Was it a THQ joint?
I don't know.
Let me know.
I have the...
I'll look it up. You're wrong, I guess.
I have the special VHS box set that Limited Run made for PAX East. I have that, like,
sick.
For the Switch. And I'm like...
That was THQ, it seems. Let's
THQ
see.
And LucasArts?
It was LucasArts developed and published, actually.
Oh, okay.
Wait, LucasArts still around?
No. I'm talking about Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed back from, like, 2008.
Okay. Right. Okay. I was going to say, yeah, it's been a while. I'm like, wait, do we need to, like, what do we need to do? Do we need to get John Drake on the phone?
Like, hey, John Drake. Why can't PlayStation? Yo, why'd y'all let the license expire on the music?
It's all John's
like,
fault.
It's like, I'm trying to replay the trailer in my head and go, like, you know, hey, maybe there was another song in there. Maybe they had Forgot About Dre just hidden in that trailer somewhere. And they're like, oh, shit, we got to take this out. Dr. Dre said we could only use it for 2 years. Like, what the fuck is going on over there?
Does that mean they're going to put the trailer back up once they figure out the licensing stuff? Like,
I mean, here's the thing. When Embracer Group or Saber or Spire or whoever gets it together and, like, provides an update where PlayStation's like, okay, this might come out. I think that's when we'll see another trailer come up for it. But until then, PlayStation's like, don't touch this thing. Like, let them do what they're doing, and we'll inevitably probably cancel it.
You know what? It's Jim Ryan's fault. That's why he's retiring.
That's what Jim Ryan stepped down. He was like, oh, this Star Wars shit is
insane. It's like, I'm just getting out before all the shit happens.
He got the email that was like, hey, we're not renewing the music in your trailer. And he was like, this is the last straw.
I didn't hang out
with my family in Europe. I'm tired of this. Steve, I'm so excited to see what in the world is the next update with the Star Wars trailer for this new KOTOR game. But us getting that trailer uploaded back up is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
You can go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Cocoon for Xbox Series X, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Cypher 007 for iOS, EA Sports FC 24 for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox... I say PS4 twice. PS5, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Fate/Samurai Remnant for PC, PS4, PS5, Switch. Inspector Gadget Mad Time Party for PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Why is Inspector Gadget at a Mad Time Party? You know, what's he doing there?
I don't know.
Go home.
What did Penny do?
Kirby and the Amazing Mirror for Switch. And then The Elder Scrolls Castles is out today on Google Play Early Access. New dates for you. Warm Snow is coming to Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5,
That's
Switch.
Not a real name.
Warm Snow. Oh, that's October.
That's just water.
That's dirty.
That's water. You wanted to call your game water without just calling it water.
No, because like it's like you go outside in December, right, and it's snowing, right? But you pick up the snow, and the snow is warm. You know, like, but it's still.
It doesn't make sense.
It's still the consistency of snow. The snow hasn't melted, but it's warm.
It's warm in your hand because your hand's warm. It's that's why.
Nah, it's warm snow.
Bless, you've never been around snow, have you?
It's like, it's almost like it's like icy cold water, you know? Water can be icy cold. Why can't snow be water warm? You know?
You know what I mean? It's just water.
Oh, actually, warm snow looks kind of fire. Look at this. It's a, what, is this a roguelite?
I don't know.
It's a dude with a snow, with a sword. He's running around. Choose between various powers.
I would not think warm snow and be like, yeah, it's a sword fighting game.
Yeah. It seems to take place in the winter. I wonder if it's like because, yeah, look at all these people who are dead on the snow. If like the blood, you know.
Oh, the blood.
Oh,
is
the blood. Oh.
Yeah. Man, every roguelite menu looks the same, and I love it.
Hades like really came up with a.
Dude,
like,
yeah, Hades really influenced every roguelite that came after it. Because, man, y'all are all doing the same menus, and I want to play them all. They all look really fun. Gran Turismo Sport ends its service on January 31st, 2024. That's another new date for you. We have a deal of the day. This comes from Wario 64. The PlayStation Portal is up for pre-order on Amazon, Best Buy, and GameStop. That's going to be $120 or no, $200.
$200.
$199.99.
$269 in Canada, which sucks. Exchange Wait, rates, man.
Two is doing what now?
$269.
$269. Oh, okay.
In Canada, yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Exchange rates. Y'all screw us over every time.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite in. Let us know what we got wrong as you got it wrong so you can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. This is one from yesterday. Blessing called Dragon Ball the Breakers a battle royale when it is in fact a bad Dead by Daylight.
That's good.
Let's see. Okay, people are riding with the KOTOR thing, and then Time Zero said Pokemon Unite and Pokken Tournament are decent real-time action Pokemon games. All right, thank you for that.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
Listen, all I want, you know, I want to be playing as Hitmonlee, and I press circle, and I do a kick. And I press triangle, and I do an even harder kick. You know what I mean? But then I press square, and then I do a kick, but my kick's on fire this time.
Yeah, but then I press you do X. That, you know, by selecting it in the menu, and then, you know,
I press X, but my kick is icy, you know?
Okay.
And I press R2, and I do a dodge.
I don't think you're going to win this one, Bless.
Listen, Pokemon coming, I got an idea for the next game, right? So make it an action game. Make it an action RPG. That's it for this week's KFGD. Next week's hosts are going to be like this, right? Monday, you're getting Greg and a mystery guest. Could that mystery guest be me? There is a chance, but I'm trying to get somebody else on it. On Tuesday, you're getting Greg and me. Wednesday, you're getting me and Andy. Thursday, you're getting me and Tim. Then on Friday, you're getting Tim and me. There's no post show today for Kind of Funny Games Daily because, of course, we're doing our D&D stream right after this episode live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And so if you're listening on podcasts or you're watching the VOD, that'll be up on YouTube later on. So go check that out. Of course, this has been KHD. Thank you again, Steve Saylor, for joining me.
No, thanks for having me. This has been great. It's kind of great to be able to be in the new spare bedroom because being back in the old studio, you guys definitely needed a new space. And so
yeah,
it's pretty dope.
Yes. Again, sorry we're not able to have you in the big studio because we're setting up for
D&D. No, it's all good. It just means I have to come back. Right?
1,000%. Right? You'll have to come back. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll get you back in that big studio.
Sweet.
Remember, each and every weekday live right here on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames and Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news needs to know about. Go follow Steve Saylor on Twitter, on Instagram, on all those other platforms. Go subscribe to Steve's new Patreon. Go listen to Steve's new podcast. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Come give me a hug.
There we go.
Oh, there we go.
Let's go.
There we go. There it is.